Harry and Cheryl Salem. Come on. I love you so much.
Praise God. Hello, we're so glad to be back in the house. Have a seat for a moment.
All right, you're on the wrong side.
I'm on this side.
All right, moving over. You're taking the whole pulpit today.
I sleep on this side. I have to preach on this side.
You snore on that side is what you honestly do. Oh, thank you very much.
I'm the only person I know I wear earplugs so I don't wake myself up.
Well, we have so much in the Word for you today. I hope we can get it all out because it's just been simmering in us for probably 3 or 4 weeks since we talked to Pastor Scott and Christy. And we've been praying and we've been meditating on the Word of God on what to deliver to you from His throne room. And that's what we want you to get today is a word from God's throne room.
Amen.
Because when you hear His voice, it'll change your life.
Amen.
Stop listening to everybody else's voice and listen to God's voice.
Amen.
Because His voice, His word will set us free. I was thinking about Pastor Scott talking about the building and the lights and the kinks and everything. You know, you don't come to a building to build the church. You come to a church to build your family. But you said something, and you said something. We can't be an 8-track in a digital society. If you're hanging with things in your past and they're in your present, they're going to steal your future. So we've got to turn the page on the things in our past, and we've got to live in the present knowing what's coming in the future. Jesus is coming. And we have got to get this hurting, dying world prepared for the second coming of Christ. And so we've got to get with it as a family, as a body.
The Spirit of the Lord just brought to me the word in Hebrew for repent. It means to burn your past to the ground as if it never existed. So many of us, we repent, but then we try to fix our past. But God's not asking you to fix your past. He doesn't even try to fix your past. He just says, I'm going to cut you loose from it, but it's up to you to burn it to the ground. It's up to you to burn your past to the ground as if it never existed. It has no call on you, no part on you, no pull on you to go back, because there's nothing back there to go back to. You've already burned it to the ground. That's what God's asking us to do. I grabbed some things to give you this morning just because for those that were here Friday night and I took you into the secret place, there's a whole chapter in here on how to keep entering that place. Who wants that one? Take that to somebody. Yeah, there she is right there. She wants it. Learning how to pray the Word of God. This one is Women of the Nation. Pray. Learning how to pray the Scriptures so that we're praying right in accordance with God's will. Then I grabbed some of my new worship things. I Am Lullabies. Learning how to sleep in the promises of God. And teach us how to pray. Learning how to pray in the Spirit while we worship. And then this one is Reveal. Reveal yourself to me. All just gifts I wanted to give you because that opens you up to receive.
So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to take you on a journey all the way through the Bible. And one of the scriptures that we're going to start out is in the book of Numbers. So turn in the book of Numbers, Numbers the 13th chapter. And while you're turning there, Pastor Scott had asked us to minister on, you know, we come to church, we know why we come to church, so that we can hear God's voice. But why do we support the church? What does it mean to us to bring our tithes and offering to the church? Because it's not something just as a bucket goes by. It has to do with what God wants to do for you. And I want you to understand this provision started back in the Old Testament. But I want to read you one scripture because I want you to understand how important God's provision was. They were getting ready to crucify Jesus. And they took His robe off of Him. And then Jesus was there, His mother was there, and the disciple was there. So Jesus, seeing His mother at the cross, and the disciple who He loved.
The disciple whom He loved. I love how He talked about Himself. That's how I talk about myself. You know that girl that Jesus loves? That's me. You see, that's what you should be talking. That's right. Who is that? Who is that girl? That's me. That's me. You see? That's how John talked about himself. You know that disciple that Jesus loves? That's me, you see. You got to understand it's powerful, personal with God. It is not so much about corporate. You can never be corporate what you're not personally. Everybody's waiting for the corporate to take you in. You go in, the corporate will go. You're just waiting on the church to take you in. You are the church. Go into his presence. Don't stand in the outer court. Don't stand in the inner court. Don't even just stand in the doorway. Step through the door into the very essence of his presence, and you become the sound he's looking for to worship him.
So the disciple whom he loved standing near said to his mother, "Dear woman, see, here he is, your son." And he said to the disciple, "See, here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own, keeping her in his own home. What Jesus did at that very moment is even at the cross, he made provision. So God wants to provide for you. We think about the salvation. We think about the healing. We think about what he did at the whipping post. But even at the cross, he said, "I want to make provision for you." And so that's why we come into the house of the Lord, because he's provided for us. What if tomorrow you woke up and all you had was what you thanked him for today?
I'm here.
Think about that for a moment. See, we praise him for what he does for us, but we should worship him for who he is to us.
I'll never forsake you.
So let's just take a moment and let's just worship him.
I'm here.
He's our healer. He's our provider.
I love you.
He's a Jehovah Jireh, a Jehovah Nissi.
And I live.
He's a Jehovah Rapha. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my soon coming King. And everything that I have from the breath in my body is because of what he did for us. But it didn't stop at the cross, because he wants to do for us. He's omnipresent. He's past, present. He's future. So we worship him for what he's done for us in our past. We worship him because he's here in this house, in our presence. And now we're thankful that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us in our future. We have future vision.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your. We love you, Lord.
Thinking in the book of Zechariah, I'm going off of what we have planned. We're going to stick with what the Lord gave us. But in the book of Zechariah, in the fourth chapter, and you can stay ministering and worship over there. We just love that. I watch him on the keyboard. He has so much joy. If you're sad and sorrowful, just watch him on the keys. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're walking around as a Christian and your head is down and you don't have a smile on it, you're in a weakened state. How can you ever draw somebody to the kingdom of God? We as believers should put a smile on our face, our head back, our shoulders up, and we should be the King's kid. We are created in his image, in his likeness.
For I have made you kings and priests. I've already made you kings and priests. Your feelings have nothing to do with being a king and a priest. Your emotions, your situation, your circumstances have nothing to do with your position. You are positioned a king and a priest. Get on your happy fence. Get on your happy dance. Get on your happy shoes. Put on that smile and let the God of the universe shine through you so that all can see the power and glory of his being inside of you. Let everybody know you are a king's child and his blood runs through you. This is your day. This is your hour. Walk in the power of my presence, says the glory of God inside of you. Step up and become the woman, the man God created you to be. Why do you let the world predict your future, you see? God's got a great plan for you. Come on and be everything I called you to be. Step out. Step through. Become all of you that I created you to be. There's more, you see. So much more for you. Come on, baby, let's go into the kingdom and let the kingdom flow through you.
And in the second verse, as he woke, he said, and he said to me, what do you see? And what he was saying is, I'm going to give you a prophetic word.
Prophetic eyes.
In verse 9, it says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it. Pastor Scott, what you started, what your father sits right there, and what they started, you shall finish. This word is for today. For Zerubbabel had laid the foundations of this house, and his hand shall also finish it. Then you shall know and recognize that the Lord of hosts has sent this word to you. And I loved it in verse 14. It says, then he said, these are the two sons, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, the two anointed ones, who stand before the Lord in this whole earth as anointed instruments.
King and priest. Kings and priests. Not just one. Don't walk in half of who God made you to be. Walk in all of who God made you to be. A king and a priest.
It's no accident that there's multiple generations here today. Because in the book of Ezra, let me skip, the book of Haggai, in the book of Haggai, the prophet was speaking to Zerubbabel, and he said, who amongst you has seen the temple, this house, in its former glory? But how do you see it now?
How do you see it now?
Too many times we forget the foundations that were laid, and we're trying to be relevant. It's good to be relevant, but you cannot forget where you came from. Because it will direct to where you're going. And he's saying you have to remember those who came before you and blazed a trail.
Foundations.
They're apostles. They're bishops. So that we could be here today. And he says, who amongst you has seen this house in its former glory? Yet how do you see it now? And then he goes on, and Haggai says, Zerubbabel, you've been called for such a time as this. The house is laid in waste. And in the Bible at that time, it had laid in waste for 18 years. He said, but today is the day that we begin the rebuilding. Thus says the Lord. And I love what he said. He said, and the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. But something happened. It said they began to rebuild the house, and they got it to a point of rebuilding the house. They laid the foundation. And he said, we need to stop. And they gathered the musicians with their tambourines and their instruments, and they began to worship him.
Let's stop for a moment and praise him, for the foundations have been laid, and they are beautiful. We love you, Lord. We worship you, O King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with your glory. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Thank you, Father.
They came and said the whole congregation numbered 42,000. Beside their men servants or maid servants, 7,337 among them. That they had 200 men, 200 women worshipers and singers. They had horses, they had mules, they had camels, they had donkeys. Some were heads of families. When they came into the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, they made a freewill offering for the house of God to rebuild it on its site.
Heart for the house.
And they gave as they were able to the treasury for the work, some 61,000 darkus of gold and 5,000 minions of silver and 100 priests' garments. But then all of a sudden, in chapter 4, there were others that came to Zerubbabel. And they said, let us go and build with you. For we seek and we worship your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him in these days. But the prophet had spoken to Zerubbabel a word, and he said, I won't get away from the word. And he said, the rest of their heads and their fathers and the houses to Israel, he said to them, you have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God, but we ourselves will together build it to the Lord God.
We will have a heart for the house. We won't need to look outside of our family. Our family will build together, for we are strong in the power of his might, and we can finish what God has started. We don't need outside resources. We need internal security of who we are as a family. We can do this together. That's what they said.
And they said, we together will finish the house. What God starts, he'll finish. Because he's the dream keeper. Now moving our Bible to the word that we were going to start this morning. I'm sorry I got off a little bit, but it was just...
No, you were just laying more foundation. You weren't off. So, Numbers chapter 13, is that where you want to go?
Numbers 13. You want to get it?
We just have some stories that we want to share with you to share what's the heart of the Lord for this house. In Numbers chapter 13, this is a story you all know. It was when they were finally stepping into the promise. Talking about the promise is not the same thing as having the promise.
How many believe the promise? You believe the promise. How many believe you can have the promise? Now, I just watched about 60% raise their hands. And that's about par for the course. If I ask you again, can you walk in the promise and have the promise? How many believe that with your heart? This is not about what you believe in your mind. This is about what you believe in your heart.
It's a heart.
If you give from your mind, you will always be falling behind. But if you give from your heart...
This is not a mind for the house campaign. This is a heart for the house. The heart will stay in covenant when the mind goes astray. When circumstances and situations steal the way you think, your heart can stay focused in on the King, and you will finish what he started inside of you. In this particular story, the Lord spoke to Moses, who was the leader at the time, and he said, send men to spy out the promise. Send men to spy out the promise. Send men to spy out the promise, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. From each of their father's tribes, you will send them.
Now, which I'm going to give, which I give.
Which I give.
Which is present tense.
Which I give.
The promise was before generation, but he said, I give it to this generation. Because the former generation didn't want to walk in the promise, but he said, I promised it in the past, but this is the generation that can have the promise.
So if God's giving it, then why do we keep looking like it's in the future? He's giving it right now. How many of you have enough faith to see it in front of you and step right into it? I don't know about you, but I hate living in the past. I won't do it. I rip off the rearview mirror when driving down the road of life. I'm not looking back ever again. All that God has for you is today and in future, today and in future, today and in future. But it's not just future. It's today, too. I give you from each tribe of their fathers, from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send leaders, everyone a leader among you.
Verse 17 says, Moses sent them out to scout out the land of Canaan. He said to them, go up to the south and go into the hill country. And he just said, would you see what the land is, whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many, and whether the land that they live in is good or bad, or whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds. And he said, and what is the land, whether it is fat or lean? Is there trees on it or not? Now, right now, he's just telling him, would you just go, be obedient, look around in the promised land and tell me what you see. And then he begins to prepare them for what's in the land. There's a promise in the land, but there's also going to be an adversary in the land. And here he says, but be of good courage. It's so interesting you talked about fear, Pastor Scott, because fear is diametrically opposed to faith. You can't go left, you can't go right at the same time. So you're either going forward or you're going backwards.
You're either walking in fear or you're walking in faith. You can't say, I'm walking in faith, but I have fear. No way. You're either walking in faith or you're walking in fear.
So in other words, he says to them, he says, take courage because I am going to equip you for what is coming before you when you walk in the promise of God.
But notice the very first thing he said is see. If you cannot see where God has you to go, you'll never be able to get there. You've got to see it first in the spirit. When you pray, it has to become the biggest reality in your life. Do you know how many times I walked that runway in Atlantic City before I ever got there? Over and over and over in my spirit, I was there. I wasn't just hoping for it. I'm just not imagining it. I'm not wishing for it. I'm there in the spirit. You'll never be able to go in the natural where you've not already been in the spirit. For you are a spirit, you are housed in flesh, and you have a soul. But you've got to understand, as a spirit, you can step into your future and be there, own it, attain it, operate from it, and then your little old body will catch up. But
so
you
got
to be there. You got to see it.
He says, you're going to need courage. And what I want you to do is I want you to bring some of the fruit of the land. I want you to bring some of the promise to me. And then he says, now is the time of the first ripe grape. God never sets you up to fail. He's sending them in at harvest time.
You're walking into harvest right now. You're not planting seed. Now you're walking into harvest. We're in a time and an age where the scripture says that the seed and the harvest are jammed together. Once you get the seed in the ground, the harvest is coming up. We are in the last days. That's what he talks about. In the last days, the seed and the harvest, a time will almost be irrelevant. You get it in the ground because it's coming up. You get it in the ground because it's coming up. That is an amazing thing, and soil has a lot to do with it. This house is good soil. This house is good soil.
So they did as he said, and in verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down from there a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between the two of them. They brought also some pomegranates and figs. They named that place, or they marked it, the valley of Eshcol, or cluster, because of the clusters in which the Israelites cut down from there.
Three fruits, very important. Grapes represent blessing. Figs represent abundance. Pomegranates represent royalty. You'll never walk in all God has for you until you understand you are His royal children with His royal blood running through your royal veins. When you understand your position is royalty, then you can step into the abundance of God and stop living like you're a poverty mentality and think like God thinks, with supernatural abundance flowing through you, not just to you, but to you and through you, to you and through you, to you and through you. Abundance. And it starts with operating from the blessing of God instead of living like you're under the curse. You have not been cursed. God does not curse people. He cursed the devil. He doesn't curse people. He blesses people. And He's blessing you.
Now right here it says, they cut down a cluster of grapes and they carried it on a pole between two of them. How big were the grapes?
Huge. Bigger than me.
How big? Had to be as big as a basketball. Now the interesting thing about that was, it was saying, this is how big God's blessing is for you. And then he said, bring some figs. Have you ever bought a fig in the store? They cost a lot. He said, I want you to have the very best. And I want you to have it in abundance. But then Cheryl alluded to the pomegranates. You know what they did with the pomegranates back when Alexander the Great tried to come and conquer the world? They spared the Lebanese people because they took these pomegranates. Ever had a pomegranate? You ever got it on your hands? It stains, doesn't it? What they did was they took the pomegranates, they crushed them, and they dyed the robes of the royal family. He's trying to get you to understand that you're of royal kingship. You have royal blood running through you. I don't care what they say about you. He says, I want you to know what I believe about you. You're a king's kid. Therefore, I've given you an abundance of blessing, and let me tell you, it's the very best. You know, I'm going to stop right here. 2 years ago, Cheryl had already turned 60.
I'm 63 I was still now, and happy about it.
I was still in my 50s, and she got her AARP letter. And then the Social Security sent that letter. And I'm waving them in her face. I shouldn't have planted that seed.
Especially when you're right behind me.
And I turned 60. And I'm out doing my prayer time and my walking, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about I'm 60 years old. My best years are behind me, which is a lie of the devil.
A lie. Your best years are always in front of you, no matter what your age.
I'm only middle-aged. We can have 120 years. I'm just middle-aged. But see, in the natural, the world starts telling you it's time to quit. It's time to slow down. You have no more value. I'm more valuable now than I was then. I'm not old. I'm seasoned.
Walking in wisdom and not foolishness.
But it started in my mind. I'm like, we're going to, how much will we get from our retirement, our Social Security? And I began to think, the home we live in, what we do, and I'm starting to think we might have to downsize. And we have 2 children, and we have 2 grandchildren, and all of a sudden I'm trying to think, and I'm sitting here going, we're not going
to
have enough.
I just
that crosses your
know.
Mind.
I
Does
never,
it not?
Ever think like that.
Some of you that don't have gray hair, you'll get there one day. Craziness doesn't come upon you. You grow crazy. I went home and I began to tell my wife and my children. I said, you know what? I don't know what the future holds from us. And they started to talk to Pop. And the next thing you know, I walked in the next day.
I didn't say a word to him.
No.
I don't talk to the stupid. I was waiting for him to get out from under the stupid cloud. And then we'd have a conversation.
Well, they just keep dying, making that dye for your hair. You don't look as old as I do. So
at least
just
I got hair to dye, baby.
We got a whole different perspective on this deal.
At least I got hair to dye. Don't turn around.
Hair is singular or plural? As long as you have one, you have hair. Are we going to go back and forth on this?
No.
I was created for such a time as this.
Let's go forward.
So I'm walking, and I feel, I'm careful when I hear, say, the Lord spoke to me, because he's only given me an audible voice 7 times in my life. But I felt this presence coming upon me, and the word came up in me, and he said, have I not taken care of you up till now? I said, yes. He said, then why would I change because your age changes? And I walked back in, and I began to share this, and one of my family members, I believe it was my daughter-in-law, she said, Papa, you don't have the spirit of poverty. You have the spirit of provision. It's not that you're worried about what you don't have. You're worried about how can you take care of everyone else. And I got the revelation of my father. He says, I want to take care of everyone else. You just have to change the way you think. And it was a moment where I had to change my thinking. I had to stop listening to the world saying, the world's done with me. God's not through with you until he says you're through with him. You determine. Because he still wants to use you. Jesus was used right up until his final breath. And so he says here, if you want to finish it, Mom, he says, so they brought out the fruit after scouting out the land for 40 days. So for 40 days, they came to Moses and the Israelites, and they showed them the fruit. Here's the promise. And they said, Moses, we came to that land which you gave us, and it's a guarantee. It surely flows with milk and honey.
Here's the blessing. Here's the abundance. Here's the royalty. We're holding it in our hands.
Now, if I had just told you the grapes were as big as basketballs, you wouldn't have believed me.
Because
we live in a society that seeing is believing, but you'll never see it until you start believing it. And he said, they're going to be doubters, so I'm going to give them a visual aid.
You can touch the blessing. You can hold it. You can touch the abundance. You can hold it.
I want you to understand how long we're in there.
40 days.
They ate of the promise. They lived in the promise.
They slept in the promise.
And they brought the promise out to others. He goes on and he says, but the people who dwell there are strong and the cities are fortified. Moreover, we saw the sons of Anak of great stature. They saw giants. Amalek, and he begins to tell all the things. And what I want you to understand, Caleb says, shut up.
They made a very simple declaration, and in one tiny little three-letter word, it gave the heart of them. They didn't say, and in the promise there are these things. They said, but in the promise there are these people. There are these giants. In their little phrase of but, they said, the promise is great, but it is not of value to me because a giant lives in there too. If they'd have said, and there are giants in there, but that promise is ours, it doesn't matter. They will have to leave once we step in.
They began to give their opinion and not a fact.
Their butt got in the way of their future.
People will tell you their opinion of you. Let me tell you what an opinion is. It's having half the information and giving 100% conclusion. Because they don't know what you're made of. They don't understand the royal blood that's running through your body. The ability God has placed in you. The opportunity he has before you. Because all they were trying to do is let you remember where you came from and steal where you're going. So he says, stop that. We've already come from the blessing. And he said, I love this. He said, let's go up and do it, for we are able to do this.
We are able.
He was encouraging them. Let's finish this deal.
This house, this body, these leaders, they chose 12 because 12 in Hebrew is the number for divine government. So God sent divine government into the promise. And he said, you can govern the promise if your leadership will agree. And so those 12 leaders came out, and only two of the leaders could agree that the promise was theirs. And that's why they wandered. That's why they wandered for 40 years after that. It was because of leadership couldn't agree. Do you know what's happening in this house? All the leadership agrees that the promise is yours. All the leadership is in one accord. They believe the promise is yours. There's no buts in here. Everybody's a and. There may be a giant in there, but we're going to displace it. There may be a giant living in your house, but that giant's got to go. I'm not moving out and make room for the giant. The giant's moving out and making room for me.
Verse 32 says, all the people we saw there are men of great stature or giants, and it devours its inhabitants. We saw Nephilim, the giants. And because we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so there we were in their sight.
Stop thinking like the world. They were thinking like the world. They weren't thinking like God's people. God's people don't think like the world. You can't think like the world if you want to walk in the promises of God. You cannot have a poverty mentality. You cannot have an entitlement mentality. You cannot go through life with, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. What can somebody do for me? You got to say, what can I do for the house of God? What can I do for my God? What can I do for him? I am well able to conquer anything that the enemy comes in front of me. Jesus and me can take down every enemy.
So is the Bible true?
Yes.
It is the word of God.
Yes.
They said,
we are not able.
The inhabitants were devoured by the giants. How long were they in there?
40 days, 40 nights.
They ate of the promise, they slept in the promise, and they brought some of the promise out. Did the giants try and stop them? Why? Because even the giants knew they came in the name of the Lord. They feared them. And the only time they started to fail was when they started to look at themselves as unable to have the promises of God. They lied.
They didn't just lie about the giants. They lied about the land. They said the land, which is the promise of God in this instance.
They lied.
They said the promise devoured us.
They the lied promise, about God's promises.
The promise will not devour you. I'm telling you, the promise will not devour you. If you think that what God has for you is too much for you, you'll never walk in it. But if you realize what God has for you will take you into the promise too, and you'll live in a land beyond your ability, beyond your magnificent mind can take you. God's promise is greater, and it'll never devour you. It will promote you so that you can live throughout that kingdom life that God's created you to live. Promotion is coming for you.
We're trying to get you to see your future and leave that past behind. Go into Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We won't take long to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, if you listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Zerubbabel had to hear a word from the prophet. And when the prophet spoke, it got in his soul and got in his spirit because it was a word from God. He says, listen to God. And then he says, I'm commanding you this day in the present.
He said, diligently listen and obey. You know what? We are so permissive to ourselves in our society that we forget how God says, listen and obey. Obedience is a very simple thing, but delayed obedience is disobedience. If you delay doing what God told you to do, you're now walking in disobedience. Every minute until you obey God, you're in disobedience. And people say, oh, then God will curse me when I'm in disobedience. God never curses you. Read the whole chapter. What happens is when you step into disobedience, you curse yourself. You curse yourself. You walk in the curse because you choose not to obey God. God will never curse you, but you curse yourself with disobedience. God is a blessing God.
If you listen to his commandments and are faithful to do them, the Lord says in chapter 28, verse 2, He will bless you as you, and the blessing shall come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the Lord's voice. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. Blessed shall be your beasts, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your very face. Do not be praying against the person that hurt you. Turn it over to God. If you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, it's like drinking poison.
That's right. Drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what unforgiveness is. You're drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. Let it go. Don't be drinking the poison of unforgiveness and bitterness.
They stole my TV, and I want them to bring it back. Well, that's one of them big square black and white with the fuzzy lines. How do you know God doesn't want to give you a new TV? But you keep focusing on what's gone instead of what's coming.
In the middle of you walking in the promise of God, did you notice he says he will cause your enemies who rise up against you. Don't think your enemies are going to go away just because you're walking in the blessing. But the beautiful thing about it is when you're walking in the blessing, they can't sneak up on you. It says they'll rise up in your face. You'll see them coming. Right. They won't be coming from the left or the right or from behind you because God says they'll rise up right in front of you and you'll just run over them with the blessing.
Right now, just release that person and release what they stole from you right now. Just let it go. You have to be able to just turn it loose. And you do, here's what the Lord says. I have more for you in your future than what Satan has taken from you in your past. Turn it loose.
Once you do that, God says, and this is my favorite part of this whole chapter, the Lord will command the blessing. The Lord will command the blessing on you. He talks to the blessing, and the blessing has to come on you. It's not up to you at this point. God says, I'll take this part. Blessing, get on them. I command you now, to get on them.
We talked about the promise, and now we're talking about the blessings, two different things. There's a promise from God, and now is the blessing of God. See, most people believe that if you prosper, you have money. And if you have money, then you're operating under God's authority. Well, if it's come down to money, then the most godly city in the world is Las Vegas. Because more money exchanges hands. It's not about money. It's about walking in the promise of God.
Everything.
It's walking in the blessing of God. What is the promise and the blessing of God? Beloved, above all things, I want you to
prosper
and be in
health,
even as your
soul prospers.
If it's not about your heart and you got the wrong heart, you can go after the world and miss the word of God.
That means your finances are in the right place. That means your health is the right place. That means your marriage is in the right place. That means your children are in the right place. That means your grandchildren are in the right place. That means you sleep at night because the peace of God reigns in your mind. You don't have any trouble with your emotions. Nobody can get you off with criticism, and nobody can get you off with applause. Nothing outside of the realm of your spirit has anything to do with you. You are in control because God commands his blessing upon you. 24/7 you're walking in it. 24/7 he's commanding that blessing on you because you're doing one thing. You're running after God. You're sold out to God. You're giving him everything you got. You don't withhold anything from him. The blessing of God and the promise of God. The promise of God is like your tithe. Your tithe is something that so many people say, oh, I'm a tither. I want tithers' rights, but you're not giving 10%. I'm telling you, God set that figure. I didn't. And he said of the whole of your income. So if you say, well, I'm tithing off of my net, let me just ask you. You want God's bottom line to be your net, but you want the bank when you want a loan to be your gross. You go in and you write down that gross amount when you want a loan. But when you want covenant with God, you talk about the net.
Let me jump in here. Your tithe is what you give off of what you earn, right? Gross.
It's like your circumcision of your money. It cuts off the dead so God can bless the rest.
But let me tell you what your offering is. When you give an offering, you're pre-tithing for something that's coming in the future. See, you tithe off of the $10,000 you earned last year, but you want to earn $20,000. So how can God multiply that if you're still giving off of what you earned, the tenth? He said, tithe for what you want is your increase. Because everything he said here, he said, blessed shall you be when you go in the city. Blessed shall you be your land. He's talking about your future, not about your past. So he says, the tithe works off of what you earn. But the offering, it begins to generate what I want to bless you with. Remember, I talked about promise, and now we're talking about blessing. Do we have 5 minutes for this one? Pastor, come up here real quick. Remember, they brought the basket, the grapes out so the people could see it. Would you like to see an illustration that changed our life? Because when our daughter was ill, we had $200,000 worth of medical expenses that were not covered by insurance. And I said, Lord, if I have to sell pencils on the street corner, I'm going to get my daughter the very best medical care. And let me tell you, when it comes down to your family, you'll do anything. And the Lord reminded me, he said, you're a king's kid.
You have tithers.
I didn't set you up to beg on the street corner. He said, I've set you up for such a time as this because you have seed in the ground.
If every person would step in and become a tither, I mean, not just say you are, but God knows who you are. God knows when you're actually in covenant with him. And if you say, well, I give God 5%, you're still not tithing because you don't trust him. If you really trust him, you'll do what he asked you to do because he's trying to set you up for a position for your future. And like Harry just said, you tithe off of the past, but you give off of the future.
Now I chose him because of this subtle jacket he wore today so you all could see him. How subtle.
And it's Isaiah.
You're going to be God today.
Oh, you get to be God?
You get to be God today. Is that all right?
Yes.
Can you believe that he's God?
So you have one responsibility.
Well, you must know him real well. Can you believe that he's God? Okay. So I'm going to put you right over here.
All right.
And I'm going to talk to you like the Bible says. It says, blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. And the Lord shall command the blessing to come upon you in your storehouse and all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord gives you. Lord, I need a blessing.
What do I get to be? I get to be the blessing.
You get to be the blessing.
Of course. I knew that already.
I question the Lord on this one right now, but okay, I'll work
I'm
with you.
I'm always your blessing, baby.
I don't know about that. I'm an honest man. Okay. All right, so Lord, I need a blessing today. I need to make our house payment. So, Lord, would you command a blessing to come upon me?
Blessing, come.
Here I come.
You ain't coming fast enough.
I was coming.
You called yourself the blessing. Lord,
I was coming.
Blessing, hurry up and come.
Here I come. Here I come.
No, 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 no.
You know why I have to keep turning around?
You don't understand. Today is the first day of the month.
No, no, no.
I needed it.
Here we go. I get further and further away now.
If I can't get my blessing.
No, I can't come now.
Lord.
Now I can. You see what's happening?
You're messing with me.
Every time he turns and faces the blessing, I have to get further away from him. But if he'll keep his face toward God, I'll come after him. Every time he starts looking for me, I gotta run off.
Why do we take our eyes off of the Lord and focus on what we want from the world when the Lord says, if you keep going after the blessing of the world, look how much farther you are away from me. And let me tell you something else.
But you gotta learn how to focus. I'll come after you, but you got to learn how to focus on God. If you don't learn how to keep, you become double-minded looking over here and looking at God and looking over here. You're like a schizophrenic faith walker. You get your focus right and I'll get on you.
But Lord, it's taken so long. Today is the first. My payment's due.
You don't even understand that you set my pace. When you go after God with all you got, I'll go after you with all I got. But I can't go after you if you just
stroll toward God. Well, you better get moving in those high heels. Let's go.
Trust me. I can come after you if you'll get after God. I promise you. You stay on your way to God, and I'll stay on my way to you.
You used to move faster than that. I just want you to know. I got here pretty good.
You see, as long as you're facing the blessing, it cannot come on you. But if you will face God and run after him with all you got,
well, wait a minute,
the blessing
wait a minute. Pastor,
will run after you with all it's got.
Well, wait a minute. We're leaving something out. It said the blessing will come upon you.
Upon you.
And
overtake you. Which means gets in front of you.
Now, guess what? It says he will...
Remember, the enemy rises up in your face. That's not going to be over there. The enemy's going to rise up between you and God.
See, he said the surplus of prosperity, which it says later in the scripture, it says, and the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, of your
surplus.
Ground in the land which the Lord swore, which was the promise to your fathers.
Part of what the blessing does is it gets on you, it overtakes you, which if you're on the freeway and your car overtakes another one, it goes up to them and goes around. The blessing will get up with you, get on you, go around you, and the blessing will defeat the enemy in front of your face so that nothing is an obstruction between you and God. Not even your enemy can stop when the blessing is doing what it was created to do. The blessing will defeat the enemy. You don't have to defeat the enemy. The blessing will defeat the enemy. You don't have to defeat the enemy. The blessing will defeat the enemy. But you got to get out.
When people do you wrong, I know this is hard, but you can't curse them. You have to bless them. It's not up to you to curse them. It's not in your power.
Who really wants to? We don't want to curse our enemies. We just want them to disappear.
You know, someone said to me one day when our daughter was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer, they said, wouldn't you wish this on anybody else but your daughter? I said, I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
No, not even my worst enemy.
Listen, that's the devil. That's Satan. That isn't the love of God
we
for mankind.
We don't operate from there. We love.
Last one we're going to give you, because now we've talked about the promise, the blessing, a surplus of the blessing, and here's the last, and I'll go very fast. Chapter 5 in the book of Luke is talking about Peter, and he was sitting there, and he had fished all night long, and Jesus came up, and he saw two boats drawn to the shore, and getting into one of the boats, he said to one that belonged to Peter, Simon Peter, he said, "Would you draw away a little from the shore?" And he sat down and continued to teach. And he had stopped speaking to them. Peter put into the deep water and lowered his nets. And Simon Peter answered, "Master, I've worked all night long. And I'm tired. And I got nothing to show for it. But on your word.
But at your word.
I'll do it again.
I'll obey you."
And right there at that point, I want you to understand, Peter was saying, "Lord, I'm giving you everything I got and I'm worn out. But I'll continue to give to you.
I'll trust you."
Well, Peter failed to realize that there were two boats on shore. This wasn't about what Peter was doing for the Lord. This is what the Lord wanted to do for Peter. He picked him out. He said, "I've chosen you today." And he said, after they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets at the point of breaking. So they signaled their partners who were on the other boat on land, and they came and they filled their boat. Peter saw this, he fell down and he said, "Lord, I am a sinful man." And he was gripped with bewilderment and amazed at what had happened. And also were the others in the boat. And Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear." When God asks us to do something, the first thing that enters our mind is we can't do it. Well, let me tell you something. If God asks you something that you can think you can do on your own, that's your thought. God only asks you to do things that
beyond
only he can help you do. And that's God's thoughts.
But the whole point here is partnership. It's that one person does not carry the load for everybody, but that everybody determines that I want to be in partnership with the blessing. I want to be in partnership with covenant. I want to be in partnership with the promise. I want to be in partnership with the net breaking, boat sinking load of God's presence coming forth from this house. And that's what partnership is. Those other guys in the boat, they got to come over and receive all of this harvest, but they didn't even throw in a net. They didn't even have to believe. Peter stepped out and believed. The other guys didn't even have to. They didn't even throw a net in the water, but they still got blessed, because that's what partnership is. And you're a partner with Heart for the House. You're a partner. You are a partner right here in Daystar. You are a partner with the covenant of God's longing to bring a net-breaking, boat-sinking blessing right into your life, to where you have so much, you're saying, "Please come over here and help me get this. I got so much coming at me, I can't even grab it all. I need help to just carry the blessing. I need help to carry the great abundance that God is bringing in my life." I'm telling you what, there are very few of us who've ever been there, but I'm telling you, it's coming for God's people. It's coming, and it's coming fast. We are in the year of 2020. That means that your 2020 vision is clear and perfect. It means that you are in a double redeemed state. God's bought you back not once but twice. He is paying you back twice this year for everything you've trusted him. Every time you step out and said, "I believe you," when nobody else can, God says, "I'm going to give you double for that this year." This is your year. It's a powerhouse year for God's people. It may look worse for the world. It's going to look better for us. Every day of this 2020 year, expect more than you've ever had from him before.
What I want you to understand is, he said, "You'll get a surplus of prosperity." And then Peter's fishing, and he had more than he could take, and he called on the others who were around him, and they were blessed. And guess what? The rest of them knelt down. And based on Peter's obedience, the rest who were around him began to get their lives changed and saved. The surplus of prosperity isn't about money. Surplus of prosperity is about souls. Because there was a countless number of souls that began to get saved. Because it said, and then they left their things behind and they followed Jesus, and they began to bring in the harvest. I wrote this down this morning, and I hope it ministers to you. Religion will tell you that your reward is given after you die in faith. But the promise tells us your reward is given because of how you live in faith. The abundance of God is here. The promise of God is there. The blessing of God is here. The promise of God is there. We walk in the blessing here. We get the promise of God there. It's not about an amount, and it's not about a decimal point. It's about beloved above all things. I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then you will walk in the blessing, and then you'll experience the promise of God. Pastor Scott, Christy, my wife and I would like to just pray over you, if we could.
My healing power is here.
We really didn't know what we were going to minister on, and then these things began to come to us, and we shared a little bit with your pastors. And then even this morning, Bishop was sitting there, and he says, it'll come to you, and I'm writing away. It'll come to you, I'm writing away. Because a rhema word from God is not heard with your ears. A rhema God from word is heard with your spirit. If I speak one thing and you hear it audibly,
a
1,000 people will hear one thing. But if it's a rhema word from God and you hear it in your spirit, you'll hear exactly what God has for you. And I'd rather hear from God than my wife or me. No offense, Pastor, you. And so we've delivered what we felt the Lord given us today. And now my wife and I want to pray over you, because the Bible says, it says that the latter days shall be greater than the former days. And that the house agreed, they all got together and said, we'll do this ourselves without any outside help.
This house is
the house will be built by those who inhabit the house.
To finish God's promise, this house is enough.
And he said, these are the two pillars that stand. And you talk about fear. You go into a project believing, hoping, knowing, thinking. But there's got to be a little bit of doubt, because we are of flesh. But you can't do this on your own. He has to do it. And the Bible's very clear. Lest God build the house, you build it in vain. So, Father, we just ask that you are equipped from the Lord. I thank you for what happened on Thursday night. And all the laborers that have come forth, as Pastor Scott read their names, it's exactly what they said when they brought the temple in. And they came to the temple, they said they brought mules, they brought donkeys, they brought money, they brought their gifts, they brought their talents, they brought their tambourines, they brought their cymbals, they brought their voices, and they got right in the middle of it. And they said, we need to stop, and we need to worship the Lord. So, Father, we worship you in this house.
We partner with you.
We thank you, Father, that you've created visionaries in this house.
Leaders.
Now, Father, I ask that you have followers in this house
who see the promise.
And, Father, that you speak to those who will help facilitate the vision of the house.
We are well able to do this.
And Father, they're not in this alone. And I bind that spirit of fear.
We are well able to do this.
In the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands on you,
we are well able to do
it. May the power of the Almighty God come upon you. And I rebuke this spirit.
You'll never come
back
again.
I break this spirit off of you.
You'll never come back again.
You have no... You squatter, get out. You have no title deed to this family. You've squatted.
To see what
you've tried to ride along and take things that you are not entitled to.
To see,
so you flee.
What others cannot see.
In the authority of the name of Jesus.
2020 Spirit Vision.
Now, Lord, speak to the hearts of those that are here, that are on board, just like those that were in the boat with Peter. He doesn't have to row alone.
It's here.
And he didn't have to put the nets down alone.
For you.
And then they all saw the glory of God. May this house see the glory of God.
2020.
Thank you, Father.
2020 supernatural vision. 2020 supernatural vision. You're going to see even more than you've ever seen before. So much more is about to be seen by you. So much more. So much more for you to see. So much more. God's shown you this much, but there's so much more you see. You're going to see beyond your ability to see, beyond your supernatural strength, beyond your amazing ability that you already have, and all that you've done so far is going to seem like a drop in the bucket for where you're about to go. And it's not far, far away. It's right here. One little step over and you're there, and they'll go with you. The Lord just showed me they're going to go with you. You're not going to drag them along. They're going to get behind you and start pushing. You're going to get behind them and start pushing. That's what I saw you doing.
Now take someone's hand today, and I come into agreement with the pastor, because you're building a house, but you're not building a church. You're the church. But the Bible is very clear. It says, beloved, above all things, I want you to prosper and be healed, live in health, but even as your soul prospers. I want to pray for your spiritual walk right now. I want to pray for your eternal life. And you're holding hands with a friend, a neighbor, a stranger, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter. But I'm speaking to you right now. If you've never seen yourself the way that the Lord sees you, a king's kid, royal priesthood, one that the Father sent his son for one purpose, to die on that cross so that you could have eternal life and that you could operate in the blessing of God while you're here. But you now need the promise of God, and that promise is your eternal life. When you take your last breath here, will you wake up and have an eternal life there? And hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have entree into the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. If you think you're going to heaven, you won't. If you hope you're going to heaven, you can't. But if you believe, he said, those who call upon my name shall ever have everlasting life. Maybe you have, and life is beating you up. But he says, those who call upon my name, I'll give a second chance. This is your day of a second chance, or it might be a day of a brand new beginning. If you want me to pray for you, that you can turn loose of your past and receive him in the present, have the promise of your future for your eternal life, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Squeeze the hand of the person on your left or your right. By doing so, you're telling them, in a few moments, I'm going to leave my past behind. I'm going to receive him in my present, and I have the promise of my future. Squeeze someone's hand right now.
Here I come. I come into my future with you, God. I come into my future.
You can't think your way to heaven. You can't hope your way to heaven. You need to believe. You're the one who came to set you free. Squeeze someone's hand. Now, with no one moving around, no one looking around, this is your special time. If someone squeezed your hand, or you squeezed someone's hand, take that hand, hold on tight, and lift your hand into the air. Because at the very moment you begin to raise your hand up, I believe the Father begins to lower his hand down to you. It is an expectation that was birthed by you, and it is being fulfilled by the Father. Now take the next step and step out of the boat. Just stand to your feet if your hands are raised right now. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I will not embarrass you. But if you've got your hands up, stand in this house right now.
Here's my heart.
And see, we're going to start a new day, a new beginning, a new life, a new walk. We're going to turn loose of our past, and we are going to be launched into our future, because this present decision we make will determine everything God has for you for the rest of your life and forever and ever. Pastor Scott.
I'm living by eternity.
Let's pray together. Let's all say this, and I'm going to come up here, and I want you to say this as a family. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you love me enough to die for me. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Today, I don't choose religion. I choose a relationship with Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. I'm hanging up with my past and I'm picking up my future. I thank you today. No bondage in my life. No iniquity in my life. And my sins are washed by the blood of Jesus. And I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. And today, all things are new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give him praise? You that are online, if you prayed that prayer, let us know that you prayed that prayer. Come on, give him a shout one time.